So the reason I try to spend a lot of time talking around the context of things, a lot of the so what, a lot of the how, a lot of the why, is because it is imperative that you understand all of those pieces. It's kind of like this. When the only way you learned to create a sentence in English class was you had to learn the alphabet, right? So if you don't know the alphabet, it's very difficult to make words. If you can't make words, you can't make any sentences. If you can't make sentences, the likelihood of you being able to read is probably small, right? So we're working on the alphabet, right? Because we want you to understand the alphabet. Sometimes there's a language to some of this, and the language is really important that you understand the language. If you understand the language, you can understand a little better what's being spoken to you. So in this way, without sounding elementary, it's important for me as a teacher to make sure that you have your ABCs, right? That you can fundamentally work the things that we're talking about, that you can apply these things, that you can practice these
Become
things.
that practitioner, definitely. What we're pushing to do and for each one of us.
Yes, absolutely. So the worksheet is really simple. There's just a few really fundamental pieces. And the piece I wanted to really lay down without going all the way back over the worksheet, but I'll let you ask me anything you want to ask me relative to this topic. Or if you have another question, I'll try my best to answer that. But I'll say this. I talk a lot about how the senses kind of work in company with consciousness. And I'll give you this example, and hopefully this will bring it home for you. So remember I said a couple things. One is if I hear something you don't hear, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with your hearing. What it might mean is if I say, hey, did you hear that sound, that crash, whatever it was? And you say, no, Veronica, I didn't hear that. And then what you do is you begin to tune in, right? You begin to get really aware. You begin to hone your consciousness. You begin to get very attentive. And then your hearing is applied, right? But your hearing follows your ability to be attentive. It follows your ability to be conscious, right? That's what your senses begin to do. And I want to make sure this is really, really clear. So that example for me, there's been plenty of times that Alex has heard or seen something that when he calls it to my attention, then I'm able to hear it. I'm able to see what he's talking about. So I want to see if that brings some real clarity to how consciousness and how the senses kind of work in tandem. Is that pretty clear? Give me a thumbs up if that makes sense. Thumbs up if that makes sense. Okay, got a thumbs up. Good, right? So we don't need a secondary pair of senses to perceive spiritual things, right? So what I gave you was Samuel, the same ear he heard Eli with, he heard God with, right? So he ran to Eli a bunch of times. So we know that the mechanics of hearing, even though we're not talking about the fleshy ear, we're talking about the operation of hearing. So the senses are used to gather information from either the natural and or the spirit, but we don't need a different set of senses, right? So we know the servant of Elisha could see, and they could see the heels, and they could see the angels and the chariots of fire on those heels. Same thing with Samuel. We know his ear could hear Eli and his ear could hear God. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So all we're showing is that the senses and our ability to be spiritually conscious are mutually inclusive, that we don't need a second pair of senses to understand that. Is that pretty clear, right? Okay. All right. Okay. So having said that, well, the Bible says, look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Okay, pause. How in the world can you look at things that are not seen? But if the Bible says, look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, that's an important verse. Then another verse for you, the Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that what we see did not come out of what appears. Another scripture says that God created both visible and invisible realities. So that means that there are realities that are not visible, right? That means things that got here didn't come from things that are here. If the Bible says, look at the things which are not seen, that means what we see isn't all there is. So what I'm doing is giving you references so that you understand why your spiritual consciousness is important. If God says, I created visible and invisible realities, how are you going to see? How are you going to discern those? How are you going to perceive those? If he says the worlds were made not from things which do appear, well, how are we going to understand how manifestation works if we don't understand that God created invisible realities, right? And so we don't need a second pair of senses to see them, right? So I want to lay that down really clear. Are there questions about what I'm sharing so far? All right, I'm going to give you one more verse while you're thinking of that. I want to make sure everybody can hear. I'm going to lay this down really, really clear. Another way that you know, not just that these things are important, that they're invisible realities, what is what God created. The Bible says that all of the things which are seen testify to things which are not seen, right? We've heard a lot about that, that, you know. And so for me, I want you to understand where that comes from. In Genesis 1, the Bible says we were created from the divine template of God, right? The Bible says he had a conversation with himself. And he said, you know what? Since everything produces after its own kind, I'm going to make some God kind, right? I'm going to create man in my image. He's not going to be in the image of a tree. He's not going to be in the image of an apple. Now, this will bless you. If everything produces after its own kind, the only way to truly know yourself is to know God, because you were created in his image, right? So, but here's where I'm going with that. That's a whole nother teaching. The Bible says that we were created. And then in Genesis 2, the Bible says he then took from the ground and he formed man. But do you know, if you go back and read that story, God communicated with them before they had physical form? Do you know that's in your book?
Wow.
In Genesis 1, the Bible says that God was talking with Adam. He was saying, hey, looky here. He said, you're going to have dominion over the fish, over the birds. I mean, over the cattle on the field. And like, he's having conversation with them before they have a form. Now, the reason I'm raising this is to say, not only are you spirit and you can discern and gather information intuitively, you can perceive spiritual things, is because you're spirit, but you also have a physical avatar that was created in Genesis 2. That's the body. And that body allows you to engage in natural things, right? So you can pick a flower. You can smell the flower, right? You can eat something good. You can taste it, right? I want to be really clear. Genesis 1, we were made spirit. And God was communicating with us before we had physical form.
Hmm.
Now that's a thought. Okay. But I'm showing you, number one, the two things. One is you are spirit, therefore you can see, know, perceive, have intuition, revelation about spiritual things. And two, you have a physical form. You have a body. It's called an earth suit. And you biologically anyway, you have a suit that allows you to live here, a suit that allows you to move and navigate here, right? But that physical suit, that biological suit, that avatar isn't the only thing that allows you to engage. You are a spirit. And therefore, you can engage, perceive, discern, have intuition, have revelation around things that are not available to our senses. All right. So I'm going to pause there because that's a lot of information. And what I'm driving is 2 points home, right? I'm driving home the point that we are spirit. And that everything we see isn't all there is, which is why we're teaching on spiritual consciousness in the first place. You know, and I always use the story of Elisha's servant, because if we could know what he knew, see what he saw, man, you would be cool. You would be calm. You would be collected. Your cortisol levels wouldn't be off the chart. You wouldn't be depressed. You wouldn't be anxious, because you would know. You would have a sense of what's really going on. And you would be like, you know what? I'm totally cool. They have got me. I'm divinely protected. Do you know how different his life must have been when he woke up and he realized they were surrounded by the enemy? And then, you know, the prophet says, Lord, open his eyes. Do you know how different life would be if we could begin to awaken? We could begin to awaken and see the things. And I don't mean see like as in you look at something. Like I mean that there are ways to see, there are ways to perceive that still use the, not the organ of sight, but the function of vision. And there's a difference. Okay. So it's important that you understand that the senses work with consciousness, which is why I can call your attention to something. And it's important that you know that you are spirit, which is why these realities are available to you. Hope that's pretty clear. Is there a question I can answer about anything I've said? Is there anything that's like, I don't see it, I don't get it. Can you lay that down one more time? Like, it's really more important to me that you understand than that I understand. Sir, go ahead.
Come off, I would say you come off.
Yeah, mute, come off
mute. And, yeah.
If you get it, like, oh my gosh, I'm getting it. It's making sense. And sometimes revelation is like that. Like, it's kind of like I'm priming a different part of your being to think differently. When the Bible says, let us reason together, that actually means let us take the time to develop a new mind so that we can think differently. And when I pray, I don't just pray to think differently. I pray for the different quality of thought, for the different operations of thinking, for the different outcomes of my thought. You know, so I want us to think differently. So I'm really provoking you to think differently about maybe some of the things you've heard or even some of the things you've learned. So if there are no questions in the chat and you don't want to come off, I'd love to hear your voice. If you got a question for me, you're more than welcome to ask it. Like, we're all at home here. Nobody knows everything. You know, I mean, Alex and I are standing here as students willing to teach while we learn.
Especially today, I'm looking at my notes. I don't see it on my notes.
You don't see what I'm talking about on your notes?
No, just kidding.
Don't worry about it. All right. Questions, last call. Y'all know what last call means? All right. If you got a question, you're more than welcome to ask it later. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be around. Is there a question?
Yeah. What scripture say we should reason together?
Okay. We'll find that for you. The Bible says, let us reason together. You want to find it while I move on?
Sure.
You can Google search it or use your little correspondence in the Bible. Anybody know it? Offhand, the Bible says, let us reason together. It says, let us reason together. Anybody know where it is? I don't see it going in the chat. Okay.
Isaiah
1:18.
Yep.
King James Version. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Great question. Okay, so some of the things that you can expect from spiritual consciousness. And here's what I promise you. Like, the fact that we're teaching on this will already begin to kind of trip some wires for you. Like, you know, God is beautiful in the way that when you're learning about something, God will supply you with evidence of what you're learning. He'll supply you with beautiful life lessons that we could never arrange for you, right? So the fact that we're talking about this, you'll find that, you know, you're like, oh, I had a thought. And then the phone rang, right? Which is really spiritual consciousness in action. If you ever had a thought about somebody, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, phone's ringing, and they're on the phone. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you think that comes from?
Here we go. That probably helped lead into
okay.
Chris got a question saying, so God was communicating with us before spiritual form.
So God was communicating with us as spirit before physical form, which is part of the reason why science cannot tell us definitively where consciousness arises. But here's what we know. It's not just in your head. How do you know that? Because consciousness is no more confined to the body than air is confined to this room. And the way you know that is because, have you ever walked in a room and somebody was having a conversation and you weren't a part of the conversation, but when you walked in the room, there was an awareness that something that was talked about in that room was tight. It was difficult. It was like, woo, have you ever kind of had a sense? Jesus did it all the time. The Bible says things like, and Jesus knowing their thoughts, right? So your consciousness, it travels. Like, have you ever used your consciousness to engage a memory of somebody who you love? You know, because your memory works through consciousness. Like, if I go back and I want to remember, you know, something really significant to me, I can do that with my consciousness. I can employ my imagination and my memory. I can relive an event. So consciousness is not just local. It's not just geographical. It doesn't have a zip code. And that's what makes it such a profound study. Okay. So yes, God was communing and conversing with us before we had physical form, which is why he says, they that worship me must worship me. You finish it. in spirit. Because that's the original form. The avatar is your house that holds the spirit, right? That becomes really important. So yes, God was communicating with Adam and Eve before they had physical form.
Which, got thumbs up there.
Yeah, man, that thing is, that's awesome, because we've become so sensory driven that it's very difficult to discern spiritual things, because we've just mastered being natural, which is what Jesus said when he said, look, you can look at the sky and you see that little gray look out there. Then all of a sudden you say, you know what, it's going to rain. But right, you're not right, as astute at perceiving spiritual things. Jesus was making the same indictment. He said, you got really good at living by your natural senses. He said, but I want you to get equally as acute, as astute at understanding and discerning the spiritual things. Okay. All right. So why spiritual consciousness matters, just to give this a little bit of, you know, extra oomph for you. Some of the things for me that make it really matter is it does shift me from being totally dependent on my senses. It reminds me that I am spirit, right? So to be spiritually conscious testifies to my original form, which is I am spirit. So I should be spiritually conscious, right? The other thing it does is it gives me inner guidance. It gives me beautiful, beautiful inner guidance. Think of Esther, right? Esther has a moment where she's in the middle of a crisis. She's, you know, kind of really in between survival and should I help my people? And so in going into that place of spiritual consciousness and becoming more aware of the will of God, she gets spiritual insight. She knows exactly what to do. She knows how to, you know, invite the king to a dinner. I mean, she's got it down, right? The other thing I love about spiritual consciousness is I have access to things my intelligence cannot know. So I'll say it this way. If you didn't do real good in school, you ain't got nothing to worry about. If you didn't, you know, graduate, you know, the top 5 or 10% of your class, don't even matter. This is the equalizer right here, baby. This is the equalizer. You don't have to have a high GPA, because your spiritual acuity is not dependent upon your intelligence. And that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. So if you had trouble in school, this is not that. You know, what I do want to make sure of is that you have all of the tools and resources to augment your learning, but your spiritual consciousness allows you to know what cannot be known through your intelligence, what cannot be known, you know, from academia. I mean, it is an amazing thing. Okay. Yeah. All right. The other thing I'll say about becoming spiritually conscious is this is where we have more intimate communion with God. The more conscious we are, much like Jacob says, oh my gosh, God is right here. And I would have never known it, right? So it's a beautiful thing that spiritual consciousness increases our ability to commune with God, to sense God, to have divine experience with God. So there's not a reason in the world that if you want these things, you wouldn't want to build this as a skill, as a competence, or a strength. So it's about shifting you from being reliant upon your physical senses, only seeing those things that are sensory provided, gives you inner guidance so you can really navigate your life with much more certainty, much more conviction. You can know what can't be known from your intelligence, which means, like, to me, it's incredible in that you have some of the greatest access to solving problems, to strategies for your business, to, you know, reconciling yourself to some event. Like, all of that can be done through spiritual consciousness. And then for me, I guess the communion is a big thing. And I'll nail this one just because I think it's worth saying. The more spiritually conscious you are, the more you move with morality and ethics. And I say that thinking of Joseph. Because, you know, Joseph was second in command. And sometimes when we get in places of authority, we think we can do anything we want to do, you know. And Potiphar's wife said, hey, I want you to come lie with me. And he was like, nope. He said, you know, I am here by divine providence. I am second in command to God and your husband. He has entrusted me with everything. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to compromise my own integrity, and I'm not going to defraud them. And so even with consciousness, we become far more convicted about our decisions. We think, you know, maybe from a different source. We're not, you know, consumed with thinking about me and what I would like and all those things. And so spiritual consciousness will help us live more moral, more spiritually, what I would consider practice life.
You know, I know, like, it's kind of like a play with words, but, you know, we talked about it before, you and I, about how, you said spiritually conscious, but so many of us just do it unconsciously, you know, but not really. Once you're able to really define it and put a understanding to it, it does. It make you, I would say, stand taller, or just, you know, like, wow, you get an understanding of it. So
that's good. Yeah, we walk like regal beings. Yeah, right? It changes everything.
I mean, already something that you, and it's nothing new, but it's just like putting that understanding to it, or what is going on, or who I am, or what I'm made of.
Yeah, it's not new. I love where you're going with that, right? This isn't like a, you know, like a new trick.
No.
Like these, these are things we can do. You know, we just override them a lot of times. You know, you'll hear me do the time I knew Alex was locked out, and I talked myself into believing if he was locked out, I don't know why he's not ringing the doorbell, and, you know, why is he not knocking, and why didn't he come around? I had all of these thoughts, and I knew he was locked out. The first thought I had was, Alex is locked out. You need to go to the door and let him in. And I didn't. I reasoned out all the reasons why that was not, you know, probably possible. And this was a long time ago, but I will say, I will always remember it, because I did. I came to the door finally and opened it, and I was like, hey, he was
waiting patiently. Yeah.
Right. So it's not that these things we don't know. We just have to get more practiced and more rehearsed in them.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to lay down the whole senses consciousness. I wanted you to see where that comes from, that you can do that. I wanted to, again, give you some motivation for building this as a spiritual muscle. And then I gave you an assignment around stillness. And the reason I did, like, I had a year, maybe even longer than a year, where I would go to pray and couldn't actually pray. I would go to pray and would only find I could only be quiet, or I could maybe enter into some really mild worship. But really, I had a season where talking was not the thing I was being prompted to do. And it was probably one of the greatest seasons of my entire life, right? So, so I'm just saying stillness is the first base. So I'll talk about that. I will say, number one, I really appreciate the comment. And I think that the school is really for that. So, you know, October was about kind of unveiling the school. This whole month is really just about, you know, laying down some real, what I would consider principles of operation that I think will change your walk dramatically. I think, you know, we always try to become what we couldn't find. And I appreciate the fact that God let us live long enough and gave us a fresh vision around, you know, maybe using some of our experiences to help others grow and advance in their own spiritual acuity. So I love that. So the exercise I gave you, I will say, is for me probably one of the first. The Bible says, be still and know. So what I'll say is, you have no idea the depth of what you can know from stillness. You have no idea. Like, if I could teach for a year on this one principle. So what I am saying is, it follows in the spirit of the Sabbath. So it's in the similar principle, a principle of rest. If you look biblically at people who had encounters with God, they typically were at rest. Whether you look at Samuel, he wasn't praying when God came and approached him. You look at Jacob, he wasn't praying when God came, and you know what I mean? He was not in prayer. There's a lot of those instances, whether it's a Samuel, whether it's a, you know, a Jacob, where, you know, even the woman at the well have an encounter with God, and, you know, she's basically hiding from people in pure daylight, you know, with a life that she's not really proud of, right? So when God shows up, like, we just have to have a sense, we have to be able to discern him. But most of the experiences, even the experience Jacob had, the experience he had with God was not in a traditional place. It wasn't in an established place of worship. I mean, he's running from being a manipulator, a cheater, a little bit of a gangster, right? He's running, and God meets him. So I want us to know that God's presence is bigger than any box. God's presence is bigger than any place. And God meets us in the most unorthodox places.
So. Okay. Got another question. So what we've talked about, is it what we're explaining? And what we're explaining, is it called discernment, or is that something different? That's what we look at.
Okay. Well, I will say that discernment is a fruit of this root. Just like intuition is a fruit of this root, revelation is a fruit of this root. I'm going to throw this at you. Like, almost every spiritual experience begins with spiritual consciousness, communion, worship, which is really what, so I don't want us to get lost in trying to couple it with something. I want you to stay out here. I want you to stay out here in this, just exploring, be curious, be innocent like a kid. Yes, discernment is one fruit, and there's a lot of other fruits on that vine. Okay. So I talked about stillness because, you know, I think I raised this and I'm gonna bring it to a close. I know we're over time. Y'all know I'm bad at this. I'm gonna try to maybe extend it by 10 or 15 minutes, but I try to hold fast to some of it on Saturday, but I'm really interested in closing a door here today so that we can move to the next kind of door. But stillness is important. And I showed you, when you hear something that's not familiar, you get real still because you know enough to hone your consciousness. So when you hone your consciousness, you can hear better, right? The other thing that happens with stillness, let me bring this point to a close on stillness, because so you know stillness can command your attention, right? Stillness can enhance your ability to focus. But the other thing about stillness, and I'll say this because I just want to spend just a couple minutes on this, stillness actually can create a healing. Now think about this. When you are sick and the doctor says, hey, we're going to need to put you off work for 2 or 3 days. And what happens is the body gets still, right? You get really still. When you get still, when you get still, then the body can work, which means biologically, physically, when you are ill and you get still, the body can restore itself. Now think about that, because we never think about healing in this way, because we always think we have to be doing something to get healed. But not necessarily so, right? So stillness is also a way to improve the biology, the physiology, and the function of the physical avatar. So stillness is as much a physical experience as it is a spiritual experience. And that's why stillness can create this beautiful ability to perceive and intuit and know and discern. But stillness can also do amazing things for you on a physical level, on a physiological level, on a biological level. You can do all those things. So have you ever wondered how your finger can get healed when you have a cut? How does the body heal a cut? Oh my gosh. Well, the same way the body heals a cut is the same way the body heals itself of the flu, or heals itself of a respiratory infection or a stomach thing. And while we may take agents that support that, the body is doing better because it is still, it is at rest. So I wanted to say this about stillness because I want you to understand the benefits of stillness are incredible. So if you've been doing that exercise, initially it might prove a little bit difficult. So can you just put your thumbs up if you did it? If you're like working on stillness, okay, and you're like, oh my gosh, like that sometimes can seem really foreign because we're used to multitasking, and people say the more we can do, the more value we have. And that's not true. Man, I'd be the first one to tell you multitasking is just the dilution of your attention.
Right.
You know, and while we think we're still achieving the same caliber of performances, I mean, you're still checking the box, but I don't know about the quality of the box. You know, so we just have to realize that, you know, we get much better. So to Charlotte's point, let me say this, and this is where I really wanted to wrap, and I would love to stay on long enough to hear about anybody else's experience to see how I can help you navigate and facilitate around having a better experience with stillness, because I want you to keep at it, no matter how kind of discouraging it is. If you're like, oh my gosh, my mind was all over the place, Dr. B. I was thinking about my shopping list. I was thinking about what I had to do tomorrow. Like, because that happens, right? Because we're not used to being still. It almost is counterintuitive. But stillness has physical, like real physical benefits. It lowers your blood pressure, lowers your heart rate, lowers your cortisol levels. And cortisol levels are those things that happen chemically in our body when we're under stress and we don't even know we're under stress. But cortisol lowers your immune system. It lowers your ability to fight infections, you know, disease, little bacteria, bugs running around. So when you get still, you actually improve your immune response. So it lowers your blood pressure, lowers your heart rate, improves your immune system. Here's what else we know about stillness. It actually creates problem-solving tendencies, which means when you are still, you can solve more problems. You have better memory, believe it or not. Your memory is better if you'll practice stillness. You have the ability to emotionally regulate. You know how important that is? You know how many times like you've been triggered and you're like, where does that come from? And I mean triggered. You can be on the road, whatever it is. You're just like, oh, you're inflammatory in like 30 seconds. But if you'll practice stillness, you can emotionally regulate. So there's emotional benefits. It has been proven to help with depression and anxiety. We take pills for that. We take pills to lower our blood pressure. We take pills to lower our heart rate. Stillness does all of that, right? It improves your immune function, your problem-solving capacity. Like, man, I could go on and on about the benefits of stillness. But what I will tell you, right, it is. It's a holistic practice that benefits you physically, benefits you emotionally, right? Benefits you spiritually. We already know about that. We're already talking about that. You know, cognitive, physical, biological. Like, you can't tell me a part of your being that stillness doesn't support. You know, most of us don't even realize we live in a heightened state. Kind of like, you know, like if you have to tell yourself, oh, put your shoulders down. Sit back on the couch. Where are you running to? You know what I mean? Because we do everything, you know. If you have to give yourself those kind of prompts and you begin operating in stillness, you'll find that you won't even need to do all that. So it'll improve the caliber of your rest. I'll tell you this, it'll improve the quality of your relationships because a peaceful you creates a peaceful us. So there isn't a reason in the world you would not want to practice stillness, right? The benefits are ginormous. And because the body does heal itself when we are still, if you're struggling with some physical ailment, like that is one of the greatest things you can do to begin to promote healing is get still. Start resting the body. God wired it. Like, you don't have to tell your finger to heal a cut. Mm-hmm. Right. So we don't even know all the beautiful things the body can do. So I wanted to say a few words about the science of stillness, because I gave you something on the spirituality of stillness. And I'm going to pause there. I think this is maybe a good parking place. Questions before I let you have your Saturday back.
Come off mute.
Yeah. Like even about your experience, maybe something you're like, if you want a cheat sheet for getting still. And I say a cheat sheet, if you had problems really honing your attention, because I'm going to tell you initially, it might be a little bit of work. And then you'll go from this idea of, remember I said there's kind of like three dimensions to it. So it's in the first act of just solitude, right? Getting yourself alone. And then we talked about silence, which is quieting the mind. And then we talked about stillness, which is to cease from striving in your spirit, right? So that you just begin becoming what I would consider a tune, right? So if it's kind of like a radio station, right? By the end of the journey from solitude to silence to stillness, man, you have picked up the frequency. Like the station isn't in between. You're not hearing the news and the song. Like you are there. The more you do this, when I tell you the knowing on this scripture is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous, the things you can know. I could give you some examples in my own life, but I don't want to keep any longer. But I'm gonna stay here. So I'm gonna encourage you to continue the practice of stillness. What's that? 5 to 10 minutes a day. Get someplace, find a comfortable place, get super still. Okay. And I say it this way: I started off just seeing if I could not physically move. Because right. Sometimes when you sit down, like when I tell you, you want to fix your shirt. You know, like your arm is itching, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, am I hot? Like there's a million things that begin to come to your mind to begin to distract you from stillness. So physically, if you can get still first, right? And then you work on quieting the mind. There's two things I'll tell you, I'll call these cheat sheets. One is stillness can also be achieved easier if you can go from maybe using like a quiet sound, no lyrics, because lyrics are going to kind of make you want to interpret or analyze the words. So just sound. Okay. So if you like, I don't know, piano, whatever it is, right? But just a sound. And I would play it really low, but enough so that you can detect it, right? And then listen to it for a while and then turn it off, right? So what you're doing is you're driving your ability to go from all of that awareness to, oh, I'm focusing on this little low sound, and then turn the sound off and see if you can stay in the stillness, right? So what you're doing is you're weaning yourself off of the, you know, the thunderclouds, the lightning, all the, you're just weaning yourself down. So you can use a really quiet sound for that. And I think I was going to give you one other cheat sheet. What else did I do, I think? And then the other thing for stillness for me was to let the thoughts pass. Like, the idea isn't to, you know, white knuckle, I'm not going to have a thought, you can't do that. What you can do is just acknowledge and let them pass. It's kind of like, remember I said, if you're sitting in the car in the back seat looking out the window, you can't stop at McDonald's when you, you know, because your parents was going to keep going, but you did notice it. Let it pass. And then I'll keep teaching you more what I would consider, you know, it's kind of like I'm going to help you assemble a practice. And this is maybe base one. Okay. So I'm done with all the teaching, because y'all know if you ask me a question, I'll keep on going. But is there anything I can answer before Alex and I jump off? Thank you so much for your presence. Thank you for joining today. We're so excited about this. All right. We love you guys. Have an amazing, amazing Saturday. Do something great. Be purposeful. Be passionate about what you're doing. Show up in the things for God and remain conscious so that you can see what God brings to your radar.